looking at a new preaching series today. I'm very excited about this. I'm quite expectant about this. And what we're going to be doing over the next 5 weeks is we're going to be looking at some of the miracles that Jesus performed in the Gospels. Looking at different miracles, different way that Jesus healed, different ways we saw the miraculous at work through Jesus Christ. And one of the key verses that kind of like is the umbrella over this series is Mark 9 and verse 23, which says, everything is possible for one who believes. Everything is possible for one who believes. Jesus himself said those words. So I want to begin by just poking you a little bit, just by provoking you a little bit and asking you a question. What are you believing God for at this time, at this moment in your life? Where do you need God to do a miracle in your life? Where is the mountain that you need moved? Where's the impossible situation that you can't see changing? The dictionary definition for a miracle is an event that is not explainable by natural or scientific laws. And in the New Testament, in the Gospels, through Jesus' life, we see healings of sickness, of disease, of the paralytic, of a lame walking. We see miracles of nature, storms calmed. We see resources multiplied, whether that be wine or whether that be loaves and fishes. We see the dead raised. And then the biggest miracle of all, we see Jesus conquer death. And all the way through the miracles that are outlined in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, there is this key ingredient, which we'll keep coming back to each and every week. This key ingredient, which is the ingredient of faith, the ingredient of belief, the ingredient that Jesus prizes above all else. You see, there's no like set formula or recipe for a miracle. There are many varied ways that Jesus heals, many varied ways that Jesus works when he was on this earth. But time and time again, they see the one key ingredient that is significant and that is there again and again and again and again is the ingredient of faith, the ingredient of belief. So we're going to start by looking at a miracle in Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 1, verse 40 to 45. Where Jesus heals a leper. Happened right at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. We're going to be looking at this miracle this morning. So if you've got a Bible, you might want to turn to Mark chapter 1, verse 40 to 45. It'll come up on the screen as well. A man with leprosy came to Jesus and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," Jesus said. "Be clean." Immediately, the leprosy left the man and he was cured. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. "See that you don't tell this to anyone. But go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for you for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, the man went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. Jesus heals this leper. I want to look at three questions linked to miracles and believing in Jesus, believing in miracles and seeing God and a miraculous breakout. The first question is this. Do you want to see miracles? It sounds a strange question to ask, but I believe it's the place to start. When we start looking at the miracles of Jesus' life and we start talking about the miraculous, I believe the first question we have to ask is, do we want to see miracles? This leper in the Gospels was an outcast in society. But he came to Jesus, and on his knees, he expresses confident faith in Jesus Christ to make him whole. That wonderful verse 40, we'll come back to it again and again. If you are willing, Jesus, you can make me clean. What we see here from this leper is we see an eagerness for the miraculous. He wanted his miracle. The question so many of us need to ask when we think about miracles is, well, firstly, do I want to see the miraculous? Are we actually really eager for God to break into our lives and change things or not? Because I think for so many of us, one of the reasons why we don't see the miraculous and we don't kind of actively see it more in our lives is because we don't actually really expect it, want it, go actively after it. Let me give you two reasons why I think often that we miss out on the miraculous. Firstly, we actually deep down we believe that, well, we can't be healed or the situation can't change. We get stuck in the despair of our situation and we think that the hope is impossible. And it's not going to happen. There were many, many, many hundreds, if not thousands of lepers at Jesus's time, 2,000 years ago. But it was just this one leper who came to Jesus eager for a healing, eager for something to change. Again, let me ask you this question. Are you actually really eager for change in your life? Do you actually really believe that God can do the miracle that you need him to do? Or is the reality you're lost in despair, you're lost in past hurts, you're lost in disappointments and failures, and actually you'll never see the miracle because, well, you never actually believe it's possible. Sometimes we don't see miracles because, well, we actually don't think we can actually ever be healed. And then the other thing linked to this is that, you know, sometimes we can get into a situation where we so actually have accepted the situation that we are in that we don't actually want change. You know, some lepers actually came to a place where they actually accepted their leprosy. They accepted the condition that they were in, and the thought of change, the thought of transformation would have been too much. Because, yes, lepers were ostracized at that time, but they had their own community. Yes, lepers were having a horrific, which we'll look at in a minute, horrific illness, horrific things they had to go through. But it became part of their identity. It became part of how they made a living. So for some of these lepers to think about being healed, to think about that changing, was just too much. It was just going to rock their world and change their world. And you see, many of us, sometimes we actually don't want God to do the miracle because actually it would result in too much change. It would result in too many things being kind of shifted and moving on. And sometimes the truth is, we actually have got used to our sin. We've got used to our habits. We've got used to the way things are. That the thought of the miraculous is, well, just too much. If there's an inadequacy, an infirmity, a struggle, it just becomes part of our identity. It just becomes part of who we are. And if that was to shift, if Jesus was to heal it, if Jesus was to set us free, if something was to change, then, wow, my whole identity would change. My whole world would be rocked. So, just bringing us right back to the beginning, right back to the very start. And the very start is, so often we don't see miracles because we don't actually expect them, and really deep down, do we actually really want them? This leper came to Jesus and he wanted a miracle. He was keen. He was eager. He was bold. Let me ask you, are you keen to see God move? Are you going to be bold to ask God to do the miraculous? Because so many of the miracles in the Gospels, they start with an eagerness and a boldness. Think of the paralytic man. Think of his four friends who carried him on a mat up to the top of the house, broke a hole in the roof and lowered the man down. They were eager and expectant for Jesus to do a miracle. So they went and did something about it. Think about the woman who touched Jesus' cloak. She was eager, even though she was, again, ostracized from society, even though the doctors had failed her, even though she could have wallowed in her disappointment. No, she did something. She was eager, and she came and she touched Jesus' cloak. The leper who comes to Jesus, first and foremost, shows us that we have to be eager. We have to be expectant if we want to see God move. I'm going to pray a very short prayer before we move on to the second point. And I want to pray, my prayer this morning at the start here, is that God would stir within us. God would stir within us a desire to see miracles, to see God break out, to see change, to see things shift. Father God, I just want to pray that right at the beginning of this series, right at the beginning, as we're beginning by looking at this leper in Mark's gospel, I want to pray, Lord Jesus, that you would put inside of each one of us an eagerness, a keenness, a boldness to see Jesus move, to see heaven touch earth, to see the miraculous. Father God, I pray you would stir within us a discontent about how things are. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would stir within us a desire and an eagerness to go after Jesus and to see the power of God break into our lives. So first point, do we actually want to see miracles? Secondly, do you have faith for miracles? It's one thing wanting to see a miracle or see something change, or you want God to break in. Do you have faith? Do you have faith for the miraculous? Let me just take a moment to explain a little bit about leprosy. Some of you may know a little bit about leprosy as a disease. Some of you may not. I've been to India a number of times. I've actually seen people with leprosy. That people around the world still today suffer with this horrific, horrific disease. It is a sickening, horrible thing to be afflicted with. Just a few details, just so you realize that the place where this man comes from, his hair would have fallen from his head, his eyebrows, he would have gone bald, his nails would have loosened and dropped and decayed, his joints of his fingers and joints of his toes would shrink and fall away, his teeth would disappear. His nose, his eyes, his tongue would slowly be consumed. Leprosy really, as many a doctor have said, is nothing more horrible than a lingering cloud of death. That was this leper's experience. That was what he was living with. That was his reality. Yet he came to Jesus and he believed that Jesus could heal him. I think it's fascinating because, you know, no other instance was there up until this point of a leper being healed. It wasn't like Jesus had healed 20 other lepers. So the leper had seen that. So he thought, right, I'll go to Jesus because he can heal lepers. No. No other leper had been healed. There was no medical treatment that offered a way out. It was just a kind of signature to horrific suffering and death. There was no hope. And yet this man comes to Jesus and believes that Jesus can heal him of this incurable disease. It's not been done before. Yet he comes to Jesus and asks for healing. What an incredible faith this man had. Remember the verse from Mark 9. All things are possible for one who believes. Now this healing is in three of the Gospels. It's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And in Luke, the phrase used, it says that this man was full of leprosy. What they say, commentators, by that he means was that this man was at the furthest stage of leprosy. He was at the furthest degenerative stage of leprosy. It wasn't like it had just started to afflict him. He was at the furthest end of leprosy, that leprosy was upon him. Yet at that furthest, most impossible end, he still believed and had faith that Jesus could heal him. What glorious confidence he had. Glorious confidence. What faith he had. Let me ask you a question. Whatever situation you are in today, however bad things are for you today, do you have faith for a miracle? However messed up your relationships are, however broken your relationships are, do you have faith that they can be healed and restored? Whatever the mess of your financial bank balances, do you have faith that there can be transformation? Whatever's going wrong in your body, whatever ailments or difficulties you are facing, do you have faith that there can be healing and wholeness? Whatever's going on in your mind, whatever demons you are battling in your mind, do you have faith that Jesus can bring peace and Jesus can bring calm and Jesus can bring a stability to your mind? The leper says to Jesus, you can make me clean. One word from Jesus. He had faith that one word from Jesus could change everything in his life. Now let me just mention something very important about faith and about how many of us operate. I think many of us operate with a faith for other people, but a lack of faith for ourselves. What by that I mean is this. Many of us here will pray for someone else's situation. And you'll pray for someone else's ailments. And you'll pray for someone else's difficulty, sinful habits. And you'll pray for them. And you'll believe that Jesus can set them free. And you'll believe that Jesus can heal them. And you'll believe that Jesus can transform them. You'll believe that. But you struggle when it comes to having faith for yourself. You struggle when it comes to believing the same for you. You see, true faith believes for itself first, and then for others. The leper says to Jesus, you, Jesus, can make me clean. You can make me clean, Jesus. I want you to have that phrase in your heads as you go through this week. I want you to have that phrase that the leper came with faith, and he came with faith for himself. Jesus, you can make me clean. Again, this is how so many of us think. We go, well, look, Jesus transformed their life. Jesus set that person free from their anger issues and their temper issues. Praise the Lord. Oh, I've got anger issues. I get angry. I shout. I get things wrong. Oh, Jesus can't do it for me. But praise the Lord, he did it for them. Or we come away and we go, well, you know, Jesus set my friend free from that habitual sin they were working through. He set them free. Wow, praise God, they're a different person. They're full of joy. They're no longer downcast. They're full of joy. Wow, praise God. But I still have shame and I still struggle with my sin and I'm not going to let go. And Jesus cannot heal me and Jesus cannot set me free from my issues. That's the way many of us work. That's the way many of us are wired. We have this big issue with praying and believing God to do the miracle in us. It's great that you pray for your friend. It's great that you believe your friend can be healed. It's great that you believe your friend can be set free. But you know what? Jesus wants to start with you. Jesus loves you so much, and he wants the miracle to begin and the faith to begin for your life. Because if you're set free, because if you're healed, then you'll be more able to love people. You'll be more able to serve people. You'll be full of faith, more faith to pray for others. So Jesus is saying, listen. Listen, church. Listen, individuals. Believe that Jesus can change you. He can change each one of you. Have faith that Jesus can change you. Third question. Are you eager for miracles? Do you have faith? Faith in miracles? Faith in believing that Jesus can do the impossible? Third question is, do you have faith in Jesus Christ alone? This man, this leper, comes before Jesus. And it's interesting what he does. He kneels before him. In that society, if you knelt before someone, it was a sign of reverence. It was a sign that they had a higher authority than you. So this leper comes to Jesus and he kneels in front of him. And then look at the words he says. They're fascinating. He says, if you, Jesus, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Where's the focus in that statement? All the focus is on Jesus. All the focus is on Jesus Christ. If you, Jesus, are willing, you can make me clean. What the leper grasped was that there is no other power in heaven and on earth that could help him but the power and the name of Jesus. There's no other power, no other authority that can help you in heaven and on earth except the name of Jesus. Now, I was thinking about that this week, and I had an interesting thought. I thought, I wonder, how did the leper know this about Jesus? How did the leper come kneel and have authority and see that Jesus was a man of authority? And how did he kind of like put his faith in Jesus Christ to heal him? Where did that come from? Well, these are my ideas, summation. Maybe he heard Jesus teach. In Matthew's gospel, the healing comes after the Sermon on the Mount. Maybe the leper had heard Jesus' teachings. And because he'd heard him teach so well, he knew this man was a man of authority, so then came to him and asked for the miracle. Or maybe he'd seen Jesus do some miracles already. We know in Mark's gospel, in chapter 1, if you read the chapter beforehand, we already read there that Jesus has cast out demons, and he healed Peter's mother-in-law. So maybe the leper had seen Jesus at work, had seen Jesus' power in action, and then thought, well, he can do it for me. Or maybe he was a Jew. Maybe he understood about the Old Testament prophecies. Maybe he understood that this was the Messiah. Maybe he understood and had heard from John the Baptist that Jesus was the promised, the Holy Messiah. We don't know. They're just some summations, some ideas. But what we're sure about is that the leper came to Jesus knowing that Jesus was the one who was going to transform his situation. Jesus was the one he had his faith solely in. Let me break it down for you, for each one of you. If you are a Christian, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you believe in the virgin birth, if you believe in Jesus' kind of sinless life, his death on the cross, his resurrection, his ascension to heaven, if you believe that Jesus Christ is sitting in heaven right now on that throne and he is ruling heaven and on earth, then you need to know that Jesus is your person to go to with confidence. Jesus is the one to go to and trust. Jesus is the one to take at his word. Miracles happen when our faith is fixed on Jesus Christ alone. Miracles don't happen when it's some ceremonial washing. Miracles don't happen when it's some chant or meditation. Miracles don't happen when it's good deeds. Miracles don't happen when it's some formula that we try to put into place. No. Miracles happen when we put our faith and our trust and we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to know how you're going to shift that mountain that is facing you in your life? Well, it's through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to know how God's going to heal your body? Well, it's through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to know how God's going to shift that habitual sin that has held you back for years? Well, it's through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to be eager for miracles. I want you to have faith for miracles. But that faith and that eagerness is to rest solely on the Lord Jesus Christ. So there are three really important questions. But I want to conclude with two further thoughts about miracles. The first one is this: miracles are birthed out of love. If you could put verse 41 up, Anna. Mark 1, verse 41. Just to reread what it says there. Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Just leave that out there for a minute. That word there, move with compassion. In the Greek, it has a sense of like this huge kind of emotional turmoil. In the Greek, it has a real rich meaning. That it wasn't just a compassion like me have love for a child. It was a compassion that was angry at the situation that the leper was in. That he was moved with anger and he was moved with emotion to do something about it. It was almost painful what he saw in the leper. And because of the pain that Jesus felt for the leper, he was moved to action. You see, Jesus is stirred out of a heartfelt passion to act. He's stirred by the leper's faith and he's stirred in his being to act. Miracles come out of God's love for you and me. Miracles are a demonstration of God's love for us. You know, the Bible is very clear when you become a Christian, you are in a relationship with Jesus. There's a friendship. There's a relationship with Jesus. Just like with a friendship, just like with a husband and wife, just like with a best friend, when there's a friendship, then there's an emotional attachment. There's a yearning for one to rise up and do well. There's a hurting and a pain when one is struggling and finding life difficult. Jesus has a love for you. He loves each one of you. When he sees you in pain, when he sees you struggling, when he sees you wrestling, when he sees those things, he's moved. He's moved with compassion. The issue is he's just waiting for you to ask him to act. He's moved with compassion. He's moved with feeling your pain and feeling your hurt, but he's waiting for you to ask, for you to ask in faith. I love the little story about the dad who on a very sunny morning was out in the garden and his little son was playing in the sandpit and he was trying to make a racetrack for his two lorries around the sandpit. But the problem was that there was this rather large stone in the way. And the dad was reading his newspaper in the sunshine as he watched his 4-year-old son try to move this boulder. He couldn't. He got angry. He started kicking the boulder. He started throwing a strop, but still the dad waited. The dad read his paper. And then the moment came when the boy came up to his father, tugged on his trousers and said, "Dad, Dad, Dad, please come, move the boulder, it's in the way of my track." The dad put down his paper, he came, he lifted up the boulder, he put it outside of the sandpit, and the boy carried on. You know, we have a Father in heaven who has such compassion and such love for us. But he's waiting. He's waiting for us to ask and say, Father, come and act. Father, come and remove this issue. Father, come and heal. Father, come. He's waiting. His heart is one of compassion, but he's waiting. He's waiting. If you're today, you know, you're struggling, there's shame on you, there's struggles, there's pain on you, there's things that are not how you want them to be. Let me tell you, God's heart is moved towards you. But all he says is come and ask. All he says is come and ask. My heart is for you. I love you, my son. I love you, my daughter. Come and ask. Come and speak your request. Come and speak and ask in faith, and I will come. Jesus, in this story of the leper, Jesus was moved with compassion. And then he stretched out his hand and he touched the leper and he was healed. That touch from Jesus was an incredible thing, because to touch a leper was to risk infection, was to risk you also having leprosy. But Jesus had such compassion, such love, that he was willing to touch the leper and see his whole being healed and transformed. Healed and transformed in a moment. I love in the last couple of verses we read, Jesus then says, go and verify this with a priest. Go and verify that this is true. Go and verify God's love for you. You see, miracles, church, miracles are a demonstration of God's love for you. God's heart is for you. He has compassion over you. He is at times reaching and deeply moved by your situation. He just says, child, ask me. Child, come to me. Child, put your faith and trust in me and watch what I will do. And then finally, to close, about miracles. Miracles are a picture of grace in action. Let's just read a couple of verses from the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 4 to 6. This is the prophet Isaiah speaking. And look at the words he uses. Ah, sinful nation, a people loaded with guilt, a brood of evildoers, children given to corruption. They have forsaken the Lord. They have spurned the Holy One of Israel and turned their backs on him. Why should you be beaten anymore? Why do you persist in rebellion? Your whole head is injured. Your whole heart afflicted. From the sole of your foot to the top of the head, there is no soundness, only wounds and welts and open sores, not cleansed or bandaged or soothed with oil. What the prophet is doing there in Isaiah is he's using leprosy as an analogy for sin. He's using leprosy as a picture of what it looks like to be separated from God. He's showing you and saying, well, you can picture leprosy. That is a picture of what sin does in your life. That is a picture of the impact that sin has on your life. You may not be a leper physically, but because of your sin, spiritually, that is how you are. Separated from God. So then we have this wonderful picture in the miracle that we've been looking at in Mark's gospel. You see, the picture of the leper cleansed and healed is a picture of a miracle of healing. But it's also a picture of a sinner cleansed and forgiven by the blood of Jesus. You see, when Jesus died on the cross, when he reached out his hands and he said, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they are doing. He was cleansing us from all unrighteousness. When we put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ, we are healed from our sins. We are healed from our transgressions. We are healed spiritually from the leprosy that is upon us. You see, Jesus comes to make us clean. He takes away our sin. He takes away our shame. He gives us a new identity and a new life in Jesus Christ. We do not do anything, but that is what we receive. Just like the leper in the story today did absolutely nothing. He just came to Jesus and asked for his miracle. He came to Jesus, asked for his miracle, and he was healed. Spiritually, that's the grace of God. We come to our Lord Jesus Christ, spiritual lepers, separated from God. But if we put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ, we are loved, we are accepted. Spiritually, we are cleansed. Spiritually, we are clothed in robes of righteousness. Can you see this is a picture of what happens at salvation? It's a picture not just of a miracle of grace on a leper who is healed. It's a picture of the miracle of grace that happened at the cross at Calvary. Miracles are pictures of grace. Whenever Jesus impacts our lives, impacts this life with a healing, with an incredible thing that happens. It is a very small example of the grace of God breaking in comparison to the greatest miracle of all, which was the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I hope you're challenged today. I hope you're challenged. Challenged about miracles, challenged about Jesus' heart to come and break in and change things. They do not have to be how they have been for many years. They do not have to be how they are right now. So let me ask you these questions again. Are you eager to see miracles? Do you want things to change? Do you have a faith for miracles, believing that God can do the impossible? The leper, I was thinking about it, the leper, apart from being dead, I can't think of anything more difficult than what the leper was asking Jesus, because his disease was incurable and ostracized and seemingly marked off as impossible by all of society. Yet he had faith that Jesus could shift it, that Jesus could heal him, that Jesus could change it. And do you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Because faith in anything else is worthless. Faith in anything else is not going to see God move and not going to see anything happen.